This week's special guest on the PLL Happy Hour podcast is Atlas short stick defensive midfielder Danny Logan. Danny, coming off of a season where you're the short stick D-mid of the year and a 2022 campaign where you're definitely right in the mix there again for a team that is one of the best in the PLL. And this weekend, we're going to go back to Barton Lacrosse Stadium, where you've played many, many games. First of all, just how's it going to feel to be back there at Denver and playing in Peter Barton Lacrosse Stadium, you know, in front of a what I'm sure is going to be a packed house because the Denver fans really bring it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm extremely excited. I haven't given it too much thought, but it's definitely going to kick in when we go over for practice tomorrow and, get back on campus and then playing at 12:30 now. So it's going to feel like a college game and right back in there at Peter Barton. So I'm excited to see everyone and, see Coach T and Coach Brown and everyone there. So it's going to be a very fun weekend for us.
You know, hopefully the schedule change avoids any inclement weather over there. But let's go back to your super senior season with the eligibility relief. You had a absolutely loaded senior house. It was just funny writing about it and hearing about it. Tell the listeners. So it was you, Ethan Walker, who you're playing this weekend. TD Erlin and Lucas Collar came in from Yale. And then Colin Squires, and I think Jackson Morrow was also there.
Yeah, that's it. Had Kyle Smith as well, who's another short stick D-middy at DU.
I knew I was hearing someone.
Yeah, and so we had a packed house of seven of us. TD, joined halfway through that kind of super senior season. So we had a pretty loaded house, and now it's funny playing against everyone. I play Ethan and Jackson and TD on the faceoffs, and so it's nice because you know some of their moves and their tendencies, but they also know yours as well. So when you get on the field, it's always funny playing across from them. But it was a very odd year with kind of coming out of COVID, and we had all these restrictions of couldn't leave your house, had to be with just the guys you were living with, but being with those guys, I couldn't ask for a better house to spend 6 months in quarantine with. So it was a great time.
Danny, I'm curious, you're still fresh to the league somewhat and, still learning and presumably going to get better and haven't reached your peak yet. But what do you attribute, your successful start, less than 2 years here of being in the PLL and, already got some individual honors and some success. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I think it's 95% plus of it is just the guys that I'm playing with. So coming into a roster that has Tucker Durkin, Cade Van Rapphorst, Michael Rexrode, and then especially Jake Richard, who's a veteran short stick D-mid, coming in, he kind of took me under his wing right away from the first training camp last year. And just talking to him about, the differences between college and the PLL, obviously it's going to feel a lot faster, but learning guys' tendencies that I didn't have the chance to play against in college was kind of the key. So Jake was amazing, and then Tucker is obviously kind of the field boss out there behind us. So he's telling us what to do, but he's also he's a great leader on and off the field. So in the huddle and when if we're arguing about something or we're trying to figure something out, when Tucker speaks, everyone kind of shuts up and listens. And so just having those guys around you, it makes the transition extremely easy. It is tough. It's a lot faster and you get in your first game and your head's spinning a little bit, but you slowly kind of acclimate to the league. And it's been a blast playing with those guys. And I'm looking forward to continue playing with them for the foreseeable future.
It did look like your head was spinning in your first game, first season, really, just to win the short stick defensive midfielder of the year award as a rookie. Like, no one was getting past you at the college level. You get to the pro level. Were you like surprised? Like, I thought these guys were gonna, I thought some of them were gonna get by me a little bit.
Yeah, it's my first game, I remember we were playing the Archers. We got blown out in Gillette Stadium, and I think I got ran past like 10 or 12 times. The guys were just flying by me, and I was like, oh man, this is much faster. But then you start figuring it out, and you start gaining that confidence, and it's just such an interesting league, because in college, a lot of game plans are kind of centered around, you know, one guy, kind of the superstar on the other team, whether it's like an all-star attackman or a great midi, and you're kind of game planning all week to stop this one guy that has, you know, 7 or 8 points a game. And then when you get in the PLL, all those guys are that guy. So it's guys that you game plan for all week in college are now kind of, you know, coming out of the box at midfield, or, you know, they're fourth or fifth on the team in points, and you're like, how is this guy, you know, not just a complete superstar? But they're all superstars. And so just figuring out how to guard everyone and just kind of not being afraid of a single matchup is kind of the key. And then obviously the guys around you make a huge difference as well.
You know, with the rule adjustment, shorter field, the shot clock being so quick, and just the overall style of play and everything associated with the PLL rules, how much fun is it to play, and do you feel like it's more suited to your game?
Yeah, I absolutely love the PLL rules. At first it was an adjustment getting used to like the shorter field. I think in training camp we were at a scrimmage and I threw a kind of a hospital pass to one of our long stick middies. So you got to get used to that shorter field with the D guys coming up field in transition. But the shot clock, the shorter field, the transition, it's a more fun game to play, to be honest, especially as a short stick D middie where you're up and down, you get to handle the ball a lot. There's not these super long possessions where you're getting dodged 10 times in a possession. So I love the rules, and it's just an awesome game to play. And I think it's a good product for our fans as well. I think it's all the games this year, at least, have been extremely exciting. A lot of them one goal games. And so to play in those games, it's been really fun.
Yeah. And you've been killing it with the shots from deep. You've had quite a number of two bombs this season. Is that, was that a point of emphasis in the off season, or is it just kind of part of the game that opens up for you? All right, I'm going to take this.
Yeah, I think if you look at kind of the stats in the PLL, or at least this year, you know, the team that wins in transition usually wins the game. So you don't want to give up any twos, and you want to put as many twos in as you can. So obviously with Trevor winning at the faceoff so much, you get a lot of those chances, and you can kind of run in transition. But we're always a team that wants to play fast. Coach Rubior has encouraged us to do that, and he's not going to punish you or yell at you if you take a shot and transition to get saved. We want to continue to push that tempo, and obviously playing guys with like Kobe Smith and Kate Van Rapport and Trevor and Craig Chick, we can run and gun in transition, and then you get the ball down to Jeff and Chris Gray and some of the best feeders in the world. So it gets super exciting in transition. And then you just gotta try to bury your looks when you get them.
You know, going back to college, you know, well, actually going back before college, you know, you're from Ohio, multi-sport athlete. Did you intend to be a short stick D middie, you know, or did you have more of an eye on being more of an offensive role, or, and how did that kind of maturation into the position happen for you while you were at Denver?
Yeah, I didn't really know what it was going to look like coming into college. In high school, I kind of played every position. So I was playing defense, taking faceoffs, and playing offense as well. I think for more East Coast guys that played at these kind of powerhouse high schools, they have those traditional lacrosse roles of offensive midi, short stick, you know, Fogo, et cetera, where I was kind of used to just playing everything. And so when I came into DU, obviously I wanted to be on the offensive side of the field, as does everybody. But as we kind of played through practice, I wasn't, shy on getting on the D end and playing defense. And, when I was younger, I, you know, did do a little bit of both ways, but then, realized that I was way better on the defensive end and could help us out way more, on that side of the ball, and, kind of grew into it and started watching some guys, play both ways and really started watching some shorties that were specialists at defense and could really guard kind of number one middies, and wanted to be like that. And so just kind of grew into that role and, oftentimes not the most glamorous role, but I came to love it and still love it, obviously in the PLL.
And then, you know, with that, you're coached by the most legendary coach in the game of lacrosse, and Bill Tierney. Just, you know, what's it like being coached by him, and what's maybe one of the most important things that he's taught you While you were at Denver, but even beyond now.
Yeah, he obviously you have this picture of him in your mind coming in where he's like this crazy guy on the field. He's yelling at refs. He's yelling at players. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be quite the experience here in college. But you quickly learn that he's your best friend off the field. And then when he steps over the line, that's when things kind of ramp up. And so having that, I don't want to say Jekyll and Hyde, but kind of, tough love on the field. And then, be your father figure off the field is amazing. And when you're younger, you don't really know what he thinks of you. But as you get older, you kind of grow into a leadership role and a captain role. You know that he has your best interests at heart. But I remember coming in freshman year. I think it was like 3 weeks into our fall season. We were scrimmaging Johns Hopkins, and I threw the ball over somebody's head out of bounds, and he completely laid into me. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a long 4 years, let alone staying 5 years. And somebody who, I call, a mentor in my life now, and one of my favorite people in the sport of lacrosse. So he's a legend. In terms of what I've learned from him is you just got to improve every opportunity you get. So at Denver, college season is a lot different than the pros, where you're going out every day and practicing with your team, preparing for one team for 5 days. And we would go out, practice, and just drill things over and over again. And the goal was to get better every day, every practice. And that's kind of how he runs his team, is you just have to keep improving. And the goal is a championship. And you just have to keep chipping away at that goal and improving every day. So he's a legend. I'm excited to see him this weekend, and I'm sure he'll be walking around Peter Barnes Stadium.
Well, what was it like to be recruited by him? Because we mentioned you're an Ohio native. Looking at your PLO profile here, you got quite a lot of Buckeye ties with not one, but both of your grandfathers and an uncle playing football there. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up 2-minute drive from Ohio State's campus. Both my grandpas and an uncle played football at Ohio State there. And so I kind of got to experience Ohio State growing up. We were there every weekend for Ohio State football games. And then when it came time to get recruited, I was getting recruited by basically just Ohio State and Denver. And since I'd kind of grown up in the Ohio State experience, I kind of wanted to get out and do my own thing. And then I came for an unofficial visit here, and Coach Brown and Coach D walked me around campus, and then and me and my dad went fly fishing up the mountains. And after that, I was sold. I think when I was coming back on the plane to Ohio, my dad knew that I was going to DU after that experience. And so they're amazing recruiters. When you get on campus, that you really feel wanted, and you really feel like they want to have you here. They talk about all the options with school, business school, whatever kind of route you want to take. And it felt like home right away. And then obviously had a great class with Colin Squires, Ethan Walker, Kyle Smith, all these guys that I got to play with. So great experience overall.
With so much such an athletic background, between, what your family has done, but also, yourself, you're not just a lacrosse player, so to speak. And, I think all of the guys that we've had on this podcast, elite level lacrosse talents have all had some element of another sport in their background. What is the skill that you learned in another sport that helps you most in lacrosse?
Yeah, so in high school, I was a football, hockey, and lacrosse player until I left for Denver. And hockey was the sport that I always wanted to play in college or in junior, and continue playing hockey. I think the sport of hockey is free flowing. You're in transition. You're playing both offense and defense. So I think I learned kind of positioning and how to play ground balls. Actually through the sport of hockey, because you're kind of looking down at the puck on the ice and you're scrapping in corners. So you kind of, you get that scrappy sense. You learn how to pick up ground balls, win possessions, and also play both sides of the, both sides of the ice in hockey. And that kind of translates to lacrosse. So that was kind of the biggest thing that I learned from hockey. And then obviously football is just the toughness, that you have to bring. And you got to play four quarters, and that kind of translates to lacrosse as well. So I think in lacrosse, you're seeing a lot of these football guys come over now, and it translates perfectly to D-Mid, where you're You know, you have to be extremely, you know, quick laterally. You got to be tough, but you also got to be able to handle the ball. So hopefully we see that trend continue, getting some great athletes in the sport of lacrosse, but definitely pulled some lessons from both lacrosse and football.
What kind of hockey player were you?
I was a centerman. So I played for our high school, Upper Arlington. You know, Ohio hockey, it was up and coming when I was playing some good schools in Cleveland and Cincinnati, particularly. But I absolutely love that sport. Huge fan of the NHL, huge fan of the Columbus Blue Jackets, big signing of Johnny Gaudreau in the offseason. So excited for that. But yeah, that was the sport that I, you know, started skating when I was two or three. And that was kind of the sport that I always wanted to play. And then I got a lacrosse stick thrown in my hands. And that was kind of the story from there.
Yeah, no, that sign kind of like came out of nowhere. Matt's our resident hockey guy here, but
yeah. I mean, you know, I played lacrosse because the lacrosse coach at my high school was the hockey coach. I played hockey. He basically was like, hey, you need to stay in shape. So, you know, pick up a lacrosse stick. So I started my sophomore year of high school. When was that you picked up the lacrosse stick and started playing?
So we had in Upper Arlington, which is a suburb of Columbus where I grew up, we have a great youth program and up into our high school. We've been kind of a powerhouse for the last, you know, 40 years. Some other guys that have come up and been big time lacrosse players like Brett Hughes and Max Schmidt are Upper Arlington grads as well. So we have a great youth program, and all my older cousins and friends were playing in that league. And so I started picking up lacrosse stick when I was in second grade, and then came up through the youth ranks. But they were great about encouraging other sports. You know, we weren't required to just play football or just play lacrosse. And so I was able to kind of transition one season into the next, and never really had a downtime. When football was over, I put on my hockey skates, and when hockey was over, I picked up my lacrosse stick. And so that's what I always encourage young kids to do is play as many sports as you can. You know, obviously don't burn yourself out, but the things I learned from kind of playing all three, I think have been a big help in continuing my career in lacrosse.
Who's the out of the Denver contingent returning back to Peter Barton this weekend? Who's the best hockey player?
the best hockey player, I'm unsure. So we never really got on the ice. We would Ethan Walker, obviously growing up in Canada, played a lot of hockey, and so we would go out back in the alley of our college house, and somebody would strap on the goalie equipment, and we'd play a little street hockey. And so that was always fun. In terms of the best, I think that's up for grabs. I won't claim myself as the best, but we had a great time playing. we always had a great time playing pickup, and we had a bunch of fun things going on at the house, especially in that last year with all seven of us. So,
you know, now in your role, you get to cover, you know, some of the best midfielders in the world. These are the best midfielders in the world that you're covering. Who's the hardest cover you've ever had in your career?
Somebody we just played last weekend, and he scored on me, unfortunately, Tom Schreiber. Obviously not a matchup that I get right off the bat, but the Archers particularly do a great job of switching matchups. And so short sticks end up on Tom quite a bit, and his ability to go both hands and just how hard he dodges is tough to stay with. So you really just got to fight and claw tooth and nail to stay with him. And then kind of hope he misses the net. So he's been a tough matchup. Obviously Miles Jones as well is quite the big boy. So you really kind of got to buckle down and you know, try to drive him away from the goal. But he's been a tough matchup as well. So those two guys are pretty tough to cover. But you know, again, in the PLL, you get switched on so many good guys that you know, you really can't be nervous when you get switched on a guy like that. You just have to do your best and you know, hope it comes out your way.
PLL, really all levels are really, offenses are really focused in on dodging the short sticks, right? Like when you started to get really good at Denver, was there ever a conversation of like converting to long pole?
No, not really. I mean, I think the fact that I played offense a little bit when I was younger at Denver, kind of my freshman and sophomore year, I would still handle the ball in transition. And so I was always more comfortable with the short stick. you know, if there was a matchup where I wanted to go down and guard an attackman or that was the game plan, yeah, just do it with a short stick. I was more comfortable. And so that thought never crossed my mind. But I always joke with some of the polls that are on our team where like if you had a short stick, you'd be in trouble. So I think it's easier to go from short stick to pole than it is vice versa.
With you know, you have a matchup this weekend against a team that, you know, has looked pretty good in the second half of the season, has been really on fire, and looks probably as different of a team as any, you know, from where they first started in week one to now. You know, what is your kind of thoughts on the game plan this weekend, and what's going to be the key to come out with some success?
Yeah. The Water Dogs have definitely been experiencing a lot of success. You know, they like to run in transition. So I think that's step one is cover them in transition. The team that wins in transition, like I said earlier, usually wins the game. So stopping their transition, step one. And then just playing team defense. They're extremely unselfish team. They like to share the ball. They got a lot of guys that can score, a lot of guys that can pass. And so just playing team defense, not trying to focus on one player. And then winning off the ground. You know, I think when we've been successful at ground balls this year, getting tough ground balls, both on the faceoff and in our D end, and even on the offensive end, if we can steal a few possessions back, I think that's a major key. But it's going to be an exciting game. I think the atmosphere is going to be buzzing. So I'm looking forward to it.
Say you get switched on to your buddy, Ethan Walker. What are the chirps sounding like? How do you force him right? What's that matchup looking like?
Yeah, maybe throw a few chirps his way, but I've obviously had the experience to guard him in practice a bunch of times when we were at Denver, so know the guy likes to score with his left hand. He's obviously an amazing shooter, so just getting out on it, making sure that he doesn't get his hands free, I think is probably the best option.
He had this incredible play down in Frisco. He stopped the ball. It gives a nice little ground ball on the sideline where the other pole like ran right past him, and he did a little give and go with McArdle at X. Then just McArdle led him, and he had a sweet, you know, his underhand risers are very fun to watch. So look out for that if any scenarios arise.
Yeah, he might have picked up a few things since we've been at DU together. So I might have to go back and watch that film. So thanks for the heads up.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, we're talking about your role as a short stick, defensive midfielder. And I guess just, it's one of those things where, over the years, everyone has talked about how it's the most underappreciated role in the field. I think in recent years, it's gotten the recognition that the position, deserves and has earned. How much of a badge of honor is it, to kind of play that role for a team, particularly at the pro level?
Yeah, I agree. I think before a few years ago, it was kind of this position where it was like, you weren't good enough to make it on the offensive end, go play short stick and try to help us out. And where now it's grown into a role where it's like, see, these are some of the most important guys on your team, if not the most important. So I love it. I think it's an awesome position. Obviously, you're going to get targeted every game. You're getting dodged pretty much every possession. So when you go out there, you're not going to have a free pass. And sometimes you're sucking wind and your tongue's hanging out of your mouth. You're so tired, but then you get the ball and you have to clear it as well. You can't just sit back and run to the box and sub. You have to clear the ball and even handle it in transition. Take a few shots and try to generate some transition looks as well. So I'm excited of where the position is going and what it's come to be. Obviously there's some guys in the league that are very exciting to watch, whether it's Zach Goodrich or Ryan Tarafenko, some guys on my team, Peter Dirth and Jake Richard, kind of watching these great shorties and appreciating kind of some great short stick plays is awesome to watch. And I'm looking forward to continuing to see the position evolve, where guys are coming out of high school and they say, I want to be a short stick D mid. I want to be kind of that, that gritty defender, heart and soul of the team. And I love seeing that and looking forward to continuing to watch that evolution.
As a guy who wasn't good enough to play offensive mid at the high school level, love to hear you talk about the D mid position, give the position some love here. So But you know, for some social promo, can we get you to say that, you know, you're a little more important to the Atlas than Trevor Baptiste? Talk about the importance of the position.
Oh, Trev's such a nice guy. I can't do that to him. Obviously, he's he gets us the ball, you know, so much, and is one of my best friends, and also will be coming back to Peter Barton. So I can't throw him under like that, but
in all seriousness, though, at the time of recording here, the PLL has hinted at and pretty much tweeted that you guys are going to wear the throwback mesh jerseys for this weekend in Denver. Have you seen them? Can you give fans a preview of how slick they look?
I have not seen them. I think I'd tell you if I did. All we were instructed to do was bring kind of our throwback mesh shorts that we already have. So we'll see how well they flow with those. But I'm looking forward to seeing them. I love these type of thing, and excited to see if the, you know, hopefully we're not kind of like the old shirts and skins. Like, we might have to wear an undershirt with these mesh shirts, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to it, but no inside intel for you.
You know, I can't even remember what I was going to ask you, but you know, with this weekend, you know, being at Denver, we talked, you know, we started this just, you know, what's it going to be like coming back to Denver? But, you know, I just want to ask you more directly, are there any fans that are better than the fans in Denver? Because I don't think I've seen a college stadium that's consistently as full as the Pioneers got. And every time pro lacrosse, you know, seems to go into Denver, it's always just a packed house in the any pro, whether it was the MLL or now PLL. What is it about this Denver fan and the crazies who come out to Denver games?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing here, the lacrosse atmosphere, lacrosse capital of the West. Throughout college, you know, even if we didn't have a big game like Duke or UNC, the stadium was usually pretty packed. And so, you know, coming back for a pro game, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I think Coach T for Denver recruits for the last 10 years have been telling them that they're going to build stands on the other side of the stadium. But I think they keep it one-sided for a reason, just because it's a packed house. It's one of the best venues in college lacrosse. And then in terms of pro lacrosse, you know, obviously when the Outlaws were here, they'd have that big 4th of July game with the fireworks, and they'd get like 20,000 fans out. So people here love lacrosse. They love both outdoor and indoor with the Mammoth here. So it's a great fan base. Looking forward to it. And I hope this place, hope Denver's starred on the PLL's kind of geographies for years to come. And hope we make a point to come back here every year.
Last thing I'll ask is, you know, right now you're at work, so you're kind of taking some time out of your workday, and, you know, I'm soon you're going to be leaving for your weekend of lacrosse. You know, how long do you plan on kind of doing this? What's your kind of career aspirations in terms of staying as a pro lacrosse player and staying in the lacrosse business here?
Yeah, when I first came out of college, I was just kind of like, well, let's see how this goes, and we'll take it from there. You know, now that I've gotten this season under my belt, you know, I want to do this for the foreseeable future. So you see guys that are, you know, have recently retired that have been kind of legends of the game, you know, whether it's John Galloway or John Rannigan, and seeing those guys play for that long kind of gives you an idea of what you can do. So I'll do it for however long my body lets me do it. Looking forward to having a long career, and hopefully, you know, with the Atlas as well, hopefully a long career with the Atlas. So looking forward to playing for a long time, not something I think I would have said a few years ago, but what they have with this league and what they've set up kind of, you know, lets players look into what a long career in professional lacrosse will be. So I love it. And yeah, looking forward to hopefully a long career here.
Awesome, Danny. So we'll finish on that. Good luck in your adopted hometown this weekend. And, you know, we're looking forward to watching you.
Yep. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Gavin. Appreciate it.